wine stock.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you're all here. And yeah, I think probably that last one is the biggest credential of living in an intentional community for 30 years. And I think the reason that is that community is such a fractured thing in our culture amongst our species right now. And that to live in an intentional community, meaning we bought land together and we had a place to, we each have our own homes and we had to develop common spaces together. And mostly we had to reclaim our ability to listen with more empathy to one another. And that is not how I was brought up. I was born with empathy, as we all are, but I think that was educated out pretty early on when I was really learned how to, where thinking was much more valued than feeling. And I wonder, you know, if you're all resonating with that. I can't see all your faces. I wish I could. So I'm going to ask you, though, you know, when you were growing up, do you remember somebody coming up to you and saying, what do you care about? What would you love to learn today, my dear, in school? Anybody? You got 108 people here. And I'm hearing, no, sadly, no, maybe. The truth, I mean, if you're one of the lucky ones who has really asked that question, you probably remember that person because it's such a powerful thing when someone connects to you on what matters to you. When we're talking about trauma and social change, I don't know about you, well, just talking about myself for a moment, many, many years ago, mostly around the Reagan years in the US, I was really, began to become an activist in social change, somewhere around the mutually assured destruction policies and the many wars that America was propagating around the world. I felt like I had to get out there, and I went door to door and organized groups, became part of bigger groups, networked, and had done that a lot in my life. And one thing I noticed, and maybe you have too, is when you are talking to someone about something that really matters to you, and you might have all the facts and all the information, but it's really hard to change people's minds. And so I think a lot of the work that I do today and that I share with you in part comes out of that, comes out of how do you connect, how do you move another? And it begins with moving yourself. So really, I want to ask you a question and just jot it down in the chat. One sentence. What moved you to be here? There are so many other places you could be right now and hearing so many other wonderful people. What moved you? What do you care about that you are sitting here with me right now? Just one sentence. What is it? You put it in there, humanity. Beautiful. This is what matters to you. When you speak from that place, I think we have the best chance of moving someone, because I think the most powerful communication we have is what we transmit. Now, a somatic principle, you know, someone asked what somatic means, and somatic means mind in the body. You know, it's the confluence of what we think, what we feel, what we intuit, what matters to us. All of this coming together through meaning. So I'm here. What matters to me is I want to practice to develop, to become who I want to be in this world. And I love that. And I love being able to do that and share that with others so that they can practice who they want to become. So that's pretty much the basic somatic understanding is this. You're always practicing something. In fact, right now, you're practicing how you're listening. You're practicing how you're judging me or not. You're practicing how you're sitting. You're practicing how you're breathing. We learn through recurrence and repetition. And if it's meaningful and fun, we learn way quicker. So the first thing is, how do you practice? Here's how you practice. One, you've got to be ignited about something. This is how you learn an art, a discipline, whether it's nonviolent communication or self-growth or guitar or anything. Something ignites you. Then you get a big picture of what it is you want to do. You practice it, you correct it, you practice it, you correct it, you practice it, correct it. That's how you build neural pathways. That's how you build new learning pathways in yourself. So my hope today is to offer a couple practices for working with the trauma that we have inside of us, which we all do. Anyone who is alive today has trauma in them because we live in a deeply traumatized world. Need I say more? And a practice for empathic listening and a practice for developing what I would call noble qualities: honesty, dignity, integrity, leadership qualities. Okay? So, Sam, just help me. If people ask questions, please, would you bring that to my attention? Stop me at any time. I'd love to hear it.
I will. We haven't received any questions yet. Once again, use the Q&A feature. I will monitor it and bring it up.
Can we do breakout rooms? I'm curious. Or is that just too much of a hassle?
I think the webinar format does not allow for breakout rooms.
No worries.
No, it doesn't allow it.
That's okay. We'll just run with what we got here, okay? Again, I'll tell you a little story. Yes, I live in an intentional community. And it's sort of like living in a house of mirrors in a pressure cooker of relationships. And nothing could have prepared me for living in an intentional community other than living in an intentional community. It's like having a kid, and you know how it's like to have a kid before you have it, or getting married, you know, or something like that. You gotta go through the fire. And so that's when I grabbed onto nonviolent communication. Someone came to our community and taught us something. So I started studying that anywhere I could, mostly in the prisons where I could go in and get a lot of free trainings and help as I was doing that. So at one particular session, the instruction was, okay, work in groups of threes. Two people go over and one person will listen to their role play fight. So I was with these two women and they were arguing and I'm sitting over here and I'm listening. And I did something where I just started to open my attention. It's like a visceral thing. And as I did that, it's almost like we were in a bubble together of caring. And as I did that, what I noticed was this: I could listen underneath their words and feel their intention, kind of feel who they were. And not only that, I became a part of that interaction, even though I was silent. I affected it. We transmit our state of being. And in that moment, I went, oh my God, this is Aikido. And I've been practicing this for 20 years prior to that. And that was 20 years ago. And I went from, that was my moment of ignition. Like I said, if you want to learn something, you have to be ignited. Otherwise, it's really easy to lose your way along the long path of embodiment.
And so a pertinent question to that is, where does one practice from, and what are the best practices for accelerated, integrated, and balanced learning towards becoming? It's a big question.
There you go. Since we have a short time, I'm gonna go right into the practice, the end of the story, and then we're just gonna practice. Here it is. So at that moment, I decided, oh my gosh, Aikido has something to offer NVC, which is a body. And NVC has something to offer Aikido, a language, even though they're all both whole life systems. So there's counterplay. To me, they're one and the same. So this is one of the practices I teach for that bubble I was talking about. And it connects directly to some core pieces of nonviolent communication. So with me, I call this SURF, S-U-R-F, Shape, Unify, Resource, Field. Head above heart, above belly. Everybody sit in a vertical line. How we shape ourselves matters. Soften your eyes, let your tongue rest on the floor of your mouth. Any weight that you are carrying on your shoulders from the day, take it and put it on the ground next to you. And don't worry, you can pick it up when you're done. It's just more of a request to your body, just for a moment to put it down. Everybody put it to the side for a moment. Notice how that feels. Unclench your sphincter muscle, your butt muscle. And you can imagine like you're sitting on you have a dinosaur tail and rest on it. And feel the earth that's underneath you, and with gratitude, okay? You know, this earth that we are sitting on, that we are in mutual relationship with. Little appreciation in that direction would be good. That's the shape. Unify, you, is the breath. Take a deep breath in, everybody, and go like this. And please make a sound. Make a sound. So now that you did it quietly, do one more time, and this time make a sound, and notice how nice it is. This is to relax your system. The more relaxed your system is, the more aware your system can be. The less relaxed, the less aware. R is for resource. And this is in NVC, this would be the needs list. Needs are basically different words that describe the life that moves through us. And they are, words don't do it justice, because how do you describe this life? So I like to think about it in terms of qualities. Think of one quality you would love that would support what matters to you in your life. One quality you would love to cultivate in your life. Honesty, dignity, graciousness, playfulness, joy, acceptance, appreciation, gratitude. I hear kindness. Thank you, Ioana. Everybody write down one word, just one. Just choose one quality. I'm not sure. I think I just saw the word opportunity. I'm not sure what that means. And we wanted to distinguish. If I had more opportunity, for example, underneath it, if you can distill it down to something even more ground level, if I had more opportunity, that would meet my need for, I'm not sure. Good. Grounded. Okay, these are all, you look at these words that everybody writing, everybody needs all of these. If it's not something that everybody needs, then this is not what would be called a need. But we all need these things sometimes. And that's how you know it's a need in nonviolent communication. Now, everybody take that word and ask yourself, this is the third part. This is resource, SURF, S, shape, unify, resource, field, SURF. Resource. Ask yourself, how would it feel right now to just have a little bit more of that quality? Just a little bit. This is a question to your body. And let it respond to you. How would it feel to have a little bit more of that quality? So, Sam, can I ask you that question? This is a demo.
Great. I wrote authenticity, which has been the word I've been centering on a lot.
So when you ask yourself that, what do you notice in your body?
I notice that my chest becomes more open and that I breathe more deeply, being authentic to myself and my existence.
Thank you. Thank you. And so, you know, in this practice on a daily basis, if you ask that to yourself, it will begin to teach you its meaning over time, not just the breathing, but stories, thoughts, things that come up, you know, what's in the way? Safety. Can I ask somebody else? Can I ask Jordan, J-O-R-D-Y-N? Can I ask you? Because I can see right there. Oh, can she talk, Sam?
I just asked them to unmute. They are welcome to do so.
Okay.
It looks like they're not connected to audio.
Okay.
They're in a loud share house.
All right. Evelyn, you want to try?
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So what was the word you chose?
Stillness.
So ask yourself, head above heart, above belly, a quick breath, relaxing breath. Ask yourself, how would it feel to have just a little bit more stillness in your life right now? What would that feel like?
Spacious on one side, but also frightening. It's a really double thing for me.
Okay. And I'm wondering, Evelyn, this is we're talking about trauma and social change. And I'm wondering if you would mind if I worked with you a little bit on that. Do I have your permission to do that?
Of course, yes. Otherwise I wouldn't have brought it up.
Thank you so much. Normally in these kind of sessions, I would take a lot longer to create a very safe container. So you're in full choice of anything you want to do here with me, okay? And I'll just go slow. So in this practice, it's not uncommon for people to tighten up as well as relax, you know? Because some people think, well, you know, hey, I don't deserve stillness, or, oh, if I'm still, then something else will happen, et cetera, et cetera. We embody our history. So what is happening here, as I understand it, is our history is speaking to us.
Absolutely.
Yes. I call these the contractions core strategies. And there are, underneath these core strategies are deep needs that are actually very beautiful. So that's where we'll go, if that's okay with you.
No problem. And for your information, I'm a therapist, so I'm
there we go. All right. So ask yourself, how would it feel if I had just a little more stillness? What do you notice in your body?
There is more space in the nurturing part of my body. So my stomach area, not just my heart is, it's okay, but the stomach has been very contracted and the nurturing part. So I think stillness would allow the scarcity to go, of the scarcity of nurturing to go, which is also why it is frightening. Yeah, so there's more space.
So purely on a physical place.
So here, there's more space.
It's more space here. Where does it tighten?
My heart.
Okay, thank you. So there's two things we can do here. One, if people do not want to go into the places we contract, here's what you can do in the serve practice as you're exploring, just a centering piece, which is, so Evelyn, ask yourself, how would it feel right now just to have only one molecule more of stillness, just one molecule? How would that feel?
Grace is coming to mind. I have no idea why.
That's part of it. Empathy comes in all kinds of messages, pictures, words. This is an empathic question to our bodies.
And forgiveness?
What goes on physically in your heart? One molecule.
Opening of the flow.
Thank you. So this on a daily basis, if you can imagine doing this every day for a year, for 2 minutes a day, what it might teach us. See, I see these noble qualities. Stillness is certainly one of them. Honesty, dignity, clarity, empathy. These are all lifelong practices, pursuits. So if we are sitting with them and we're open to them, then again, we can sit and recalibrate our system and see what it teaches us. And as we contract around places, as we go a little more, here's a way to get curious about it. And I ask that if you're doing this, that you be very careful, because really, honestly, we go into our early place. When we contract around something, it's to protect. And to soften the pain. You know, someone goes, ah, you go, ow. It's to soften the pain and to protect. So when we begin to have conversations with those places, we do it with the utmost care, not pushing. And really a reverence. Because these places that we protect in us, as I see over and over and over and over again, are protecting our greatest gifts to the world. Yes. That's why we protect them. So Evelyn, here's how we can work with that, which is this. So if I say, you know, how would it be to have a little more stillness? And imagine that contraction in your heart for a moment. Okay. Now here's a question, and it's not, you don't have to get it right. Don't worry about it. First thought, when did you learn to do that? How old were you?
Three.
What'd you say?
Three.
So I'm just explaining as I go to everybody. Is that okay, Evelyn? So this is something you learned at three or around that time. And this contraction is a strategy. And just remember, when we're children, we come up with strategies that are very different than we do as adults. Because it's like a room that you can, where people access you, but the doorknob's only on the outside sometimes. So, Evelyn, first question is, you know, when did you learn that? And what came to you was three? And then here's the next question. What was going on around you at that age? just briefly.
I'm fine to share it. It's I have a memory in there where I remember that I had to stop being a child, and I wasn't allowed stillness anymore because I was in charge. I became responsible for my mother.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was the moment I stopped being a child, and then also was not allowed to have much secrets because my internal world kept her alive.
Hmm. So how does that connect to you intuitively? You know, you protected your heart, meaning like, was it that child heart, that whatever that beauty is, was not valued? So you said, I'm gonna keep this to myself? Does that ring true?
No, it wasn't. It's when I'm not quite that it wasn't that it was. I remember the moment, and I remember having to step into another age. And when I became 45, I finally the finally two came together.
So in that transition, I'm just curious though about what you were protecting here. Do you have a sense?
I started protecting my mother rather than myself. Yes.
Yeah. And your heart. There is, you know, there was something that you kept more to yourself to protect. Is there a guess there?
The lightness of being is the best way of describing it.
Which maybe that was not valued, but it was something precious, is what I'm hearing, right?
Lightness, just
thank you. I want everybody to know something. When I guessed what was going on, she said, "Well, no, it wasn't quite." It doesn't matter that I get it right. That's not what an empathy guess is. An empathy guess is showing that I care and that I'm interested and I'm really trying to understand. And yes, it invites the correction because you know what I don't. So thank you for that. And for that's often a misconception about empathy sometimes, that we should get it right or something. So for right now, how would it be, Evelyn, just for a moment, to turn towards that three-year-old who protected your lightness of being all these years, and she's still working for you?
Yeah, I guess that's where the word grace came from, gratitude.
I'm saying that, I'm explaining, and I'm guessing you know this, but just for everybody's sake, and this is not about judging whether that strategy could have been better or worse. This is appreciating the intention under the strategy, which was to care for your lightness of being. So how would it be to turn to that part, that younger part of you that's still working for you, and just a little appreciation, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, thank you.
I feel like that. She can go play. I feel very joyous.
And so when you do yes. that, when you have that gratitude, what goes on in your body?
Big sigh. Really big bloody sigh. Being allowed to play.
So thank you for that. I'm guessing that's a good place to leave it for you right now.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm from I had pain like this all day in watching all these things, and the pain's gone and my heart's open and smiling. There's a smile in my heart. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is so beautiful. Thank you. But what happens, Lou asked, what happens when you can't find the place in the body where that feeling sits? Is there a navigation tool that you use?
Well, first of all, you know, everybody has places where they get triggered. You know, if I had a gun in front of your face and I said, you know, whatever threatened you, something in you would contract because it's like, oh my God, you know, or If a stranger walks up to you on the street, you don't know who it is, but they come into your space, you're going to contract. Or your partner says something that is just not appreciative of you when you are trying to help, and you're probably going to contract. So I don't know who said that, Sam?
That was Lou that asked the question.
Yeah. So Lou, everybody. Lou, though, I can't see you. I wish I could. But for right now, think of a difficult conversation, a challenging one you've had with someone you care about that was really painful. And notice what goes on in your body. I'm guessing that somewhere you tighten, somewhere you're in emotional pain. There, that, and then locate it. If you can't locate it, meaning if it's like, it feels like it's everywhere, that is a sign of an overload. And so it's too much. The thing, just like working with Evelyn, if your system is overloaded, you cannot locate things. If you're overloaded in a conversation with someone else, you can't really listen too well. You know, some really good advice someone gave me a long time ago is this, you know, that if you're, you cannot give empathy when you're in emotional pain, when you are triggered. One's a contracted state and one is an open state. They are very different states of being. So you have to find ways to relax your system. That surf practice I offered was one.
And also to continue from there, we have two more questions that I feel are intertwined sure. From Deanna and Natalie. Deanna asks, what if your response is disassociation and numbness? How do you really come back into your body? And Natalie also asks kind of that surf process, how do you feel safe first before proceeding with this really intense process?
Thank you, one, for recognizing, yes, this is a really intense process. Luckily, I picked Evelyn, who is a therapist and has probably had I'm sure you had to work on yourself in this way. And first of all, wherever you are in the process, let's say you're numb or you're overloaded or and you can't act, appreciate that. Appreciate wherever you are. There is no wrong in this process. Only care and curiosity. And start there. I used to do this thing to trigger people. I just say, think of a challenging conversation. That's good enough for right now for this practice. What I used to do was this. I used to start about 10 feet away and I'd walk towards someone. I'd say, stop when I'm too close. But some people that triggered. So I had to walk 50 feet back outside around the corner behind a tree. And that's where I started. And all that is something to be curious about and honor your system. So my advice is to start very small. If you're feeling a numbing, then you're already too triggered. Start smaller. Start with one molecule and stay there as long as you want. This is a practice you can do every day. And it's a way to build integrity, honesty, dignity. So that if I'm in a struggle with you, and I don't know what to do, I can go to myself and I can go, all right, David, what would integrity do right now? Head, heart, belly, integrated. Do what I say what I do. I've sat with integrity for months and months and asked myself, how would it feel if I had a little bit more? And I built a whole mind, body, energetic, somatic experience of that I can access a little quicker now. I still get triggered. Don't you worry. I do. But it's not about being perfect. It's about learning how to come back to center a little bit quicker. So shape, unify, resource, and field. We haven't even gotten to that. Let's do that now, all right? I'm watching the time here. All right, so now, shape, head above heart, above belly. Everybody do this with me, please. And soft, unifying breath. This is the nano version. Resource, ask yourself, how would it feel to have a little bit more of that quality? If you're triggered, just one molecule, half a molecule, whatever it is. I'm gonna pick gratitude. How would it feel to have a little tiny, tiny bit more gratitude? Now, field. And this goes back to the story I told about the women. This is the Aikido piece that is actually a way to explore empathy and practice it, a visceral practice. Imagine there's a bubble around you, a field, if you will, a bubble, a foot away on each side. That's all. And make sure it's a foot in every direction, above, below, to the left, to the right, front, back. And just breathe and relax. Now, if you can, you know, breathe into that quality and see if you could fill it up in that space. It's gonna take some imagination. And don't worry if you don't get it right now. At the end of this session, I'm gonna give some resources where you can find out more about these things. But for right now, a bubble. And now, can everybody imagine this bubble so that it's also behind you, in that space behind you? Can anybody not? Really, it's really hard to imagine for you the space behind you. If so, let me know. It's pretty normal for that to happen too. If you're struggling with that, the question I would ask is this. Do you often feel like you have to do things on your own? Because the back is about support. One, this is behind us, our ancestors, the teachers that came before us. So this is a resource. Now, very slowly, this bubble, imagine it getting a little bit bigger in every direction so that it touches the monitor. Okay, just fill it with care or kindness, something that you can breathe easy with. And very slowly, let it get bigger in all directions so that it includes the monitor like this. It opens and the monitor is now in the bubble with you. And if you can see other people besides me or whoever you see, just notice what it's like right now with your eyes open. Just that we're in this together. Notice how that is. This is something that transmits over the internet. So notice how it is to be inclusive. Have this sense of being open and inclusive. This is empathy. It's not the words. Words can get in the way or they can help, but mostly it's about a presence. So what you can do to practice this is when you're in a conversation, imagine the bubble and very slowly include the person in that care. Go for a walk, do it in nature. Open it up to a plant or a tree. It'll surprise you because this is listening to nature. Empathy connects us to life. Not just human. Try it, you'll like it. It's really a beautiful practice.
You called attention to this struggle at the back, but Marie is asking, what about if the difficulty to encompass is in front of them?
you know, everything's a metaphor, and it's always a guess, an empathy guess. I don't, there's not a map. But the way I do this is I say, well, you know, in front of us, future. It's hard to embrace maybe the future. Whoever said that, is that a possibility? Those who walk beside us. So I'd like to teach, I know I'm moving a little quicker now, and I'd love the questions, but I really want to share this one more practice. Possibly two, let's see. So here's the thing. So if I'm standing in front of you, imagine I'm somebody who is really, really triggering you. Listen, you. You're really bothering me and I'm triggering you, right? Everybody just, if it's okay with you, I'm just acting. But just imagine you're in front of this line of attack here for just a moment. And if that's too triggering, don't worry, don't do it. But for right now, for those of you who want to work with people that trigger you without getting overloaded, here is a practice. Because you cannot do this bubble thing when you are overloaded. So stand in front of me for just a second and I'll teach the practice. So here you go. Are you listening to me, Sam? I'm talking to you, huh, Evelyn? You know, something really bothers me. Now, you notice that you start to get triggered. Now do this. Here's the line down the middle of this thing. I want you to step off, not move away, not move closer, just move to the side a little bit. And put your hands out. It's like, this is like wind, and watch it go by. Don't let anything I say touch you. See where it comes from and watch it go by. Ready? So see where it comes from, that's me, and watch it go by. Listen, everybody, I'm really disappointed in this class. You don't listen to me. I'm really trying to get this done, and what is wrong with all, do you understand? How is that for you, Sam?
It's good. It's nice. Just letting things pass. I also wanted to let you know that we have 10 more minutes and a lot of questions have come in about field. We're missing the F.
No, we didn't. The bubble is the field.
Thank you for specifying that. Awesome.
The bubble is the empathic listening field of inclusion that really holds those qualities, those noble qualities. Yes, you take yourself off of that line of attack. How many of us think, oh, well, I'm supposed to take it?
So I noticed I felt that it was more about you. I felt it was
there, you. There you go. You can relax your system more. And then you can take it less personally. It's not about getting away. It's about, so, you can't really do this when you're in an argument with somebody without them laughing at you and them going, what are you doing? But you can do this. You can go, huh, really? Tell me more. I'm really interested in what you're saying. So I'm doing that so I can be there in a better way. All right, so here's how I want to end this class today. And if we have questions or something after, I'm open to it, but go like this. Rub your hands together. Touch your own heart. And just appreciate your own heart. This is a gratitude. And then bring that down and wake up your belly. And bring your attention down in the center of your intuition there, your gut, with appreciation. And then feel your feet on the floor and appreciate this earth that you're sitting on. You know, send roots down in your imagination to the rocks and the water and the other roots and the organisms and the animals and the plants, and you can go on and on, but just for a moment appreciate that in your own way. And then sit back in your chair and imagine all those that are behind you. The ancestors who were healthy and whole, the teachers in your life, the great teachers that have come and gone on this planet, lean back into those. The people you love, the people who embody those qualities that you love so much. Find your appreciation for them and those who walk beside you, your friends, your partners, your associates, even those ones that trigger you a little bit, but those are often your best training partners. And then the young ones in front of us, just hold them for a moment. The ones who remind us of the lightness of being. Gather all your relationships now into a big cup. Everybody do that. Big cup. Gather it all. Do the physical movement. Try it. You'll like it. And then drink. Drink till you're full. Fill yourself up. And from that place is where we can offer and receive more fully. Any of us doing social change in the world, it is essential for us to be full. The greatest violence we do to ourselves in this work is depleting ourselves. Stay full. You have many, many, many resources. So I'm open for questions. I also want to mention something to everybody. One thing I'm really loving doing these days online is I'm doing these 30-day, 30 sessions, 30 participants. I have one coming up in January and February. I just did one for the last four of them over the last 4 months. And they're great. We sit together for half hour to an hour every day. And they're recorded if you miss them. And we do these practices slowly over time. So if you're interested in that, because that's how I understand practice, you know, as an Aikidoist, I'm a goldsmith, as an artist and a musician, it takes practice over time to embody the changes that we want to see in ourselves. So I really invite you. My website is Liminal Somatics, LIMINAL somatics.com. Anyway, that's my little thing. I hope that's okay, Sam, to be putting in there.
Of course, our tech host just included it in the chat. And we do have time for a few questions if you're open to that.
Well, I'd stay for the next hour if you wanted to. Go ahead.
So Jeremy asks, can the resource only be a quality or can it be other things as well to focus and center on every day to expand?
Yeah, I like to keep it simple, you know? So, I mean, a quality like integrity is a really wonderful thing, but you can also open it up to be a commitment or a vision statement for your own organization. You know, I am a commitment. I am committed to developing somatic consensus, which is my commitment for decades now. That's my work, somatic consensus. Developing and practicing somatic consensus and sharing it with others for the sake of the next generations and the children and creating a better world for them. That matters to me. That's my commitment. That's a statement. And although I rush through it, it has a lot of meaning to me. So to be able to speak it and notice what's in your way. Notice where the movement is. Notice where your power is and where it stopped.
And when you're kind of in front of a lot of anger or conflict coming towards you, power that's not your own, for those words and energy to go by in the drill that we did, do you have to like move your head and your eyes as well, or can you simply kind of get off the line?
I like to use the physicality of it really enhances the imagination. Essentially, what you're doing is getting off the line. Now, in Aikido practice, for example, you know, there are people who can embody it energetically and they don't even seem to move. Meanwhile, the other person's getting thrown across the room or something, you know, and there is something to say, the idea of practicing this in a group and practicing it so you know what it feels like and you're familiar with it, then you can start to practice it internally more.
Great. And our last question of tonight, how do you combine and apply nonviolent communication and somatics, which feels a little bit like your talk, but do you have any further kind of recommendations of how to marry those two?
Of somatics and NVC? Well, they already are married in my mind. They're one thing. And you know, they're both, I see them, the way I do it is I see them as life practices, whole life discipline. And Aikido, what's going on the mat, if it doesn't correlate to what's going on in my life, then I'm gonna check it. The principles on the mat should be the same in my life. The principles in my life should be the same on the mat. Same thing with NVC. And therefore, if they are whole life practices, I can check them against each other. I can cross-reference and check myself. So somatics to me is a whole life practice. NBC is a whole life practice. Aikido is a whole life practice. And if I had to, again, to answer that question, well, what's the simplest way of remembering that? What I keep in mind is this. In my community, where I get triggered all the time, and I used to get triggered way more, but you know, you don't get rid of it, just get better at it. It helps getting older too, maybe, I don't know. But to keep it simple, practice kindness, space, and rhythm. So what that looks like is this. Practice kindness, real kind, not niceness, kindness. Know what that feels like. Sit with it daily. Become familiar with it. Let it teach you its meaning. Space. There are people, if I get too close to them, they contract. You can see that and you can feel it. Learn to feel where the perimeter of the interaction is and don't push it. Stay there. Find the perimeter of how close you are, you can be without triggering the other person and practice kindness from there. And then there's a rhythm. It's just like music. There's times to enter, and there's times it doesn't make sense to enter. If you don't pay attention to the space in your life and take space to be with yourself, for example, you kill your life, you know? So space is really, really important. It's the music between the notes. And so space, rhythm, and kindness. That's about as simple as I can distill.
Thank you so much, David, for your talk as we close out. You helped remind me to really center authenticity and return to that every day. Once again, there was a lot here. If you want to continue the discussion and connect with fellow participants, please join our various Facebook groups or coffee break sessions through the portal. As well, if you enjoyed the session as much as I did, you can buy the full library, including all recordings, audio, and so much more to digest in your own time. There is a ton of shared knowledge here that we want you to have and not miss out on. So if you purchase the whole library during this conference, it is 50% off. Your contribution helps make this live conference freely available to all and is greatly appreciated as a thank you for the army of folks that put this together. It's a huge event. Once again, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope your time with David was as valuable as mine, and you can learn more about their work through the link we've been posting in the chat. And now to close, David, in one sentence or less, I'll be impressed. What is your top embodiment tip?
Community, let's stay connected. Mm-hmm. I invite the conversation.
Thank you so much. That conversation is happening on all our platforms and forums. Thank you. And we will see you next session on this channel, Trauma and Social Change. The Case for Body, Mind, and Spirit Integration with Gina Ross. Thank you, everyone. Take care. Thank you, David. It was great. I wanted to be here. Volunteered for this one in particular.
Oh, nice. Hope to see you all again.